Morning and welcome to Ksuvos Yud Amud Aleph and the sugya of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. So as I said in the email that I sent out, both the original one from Matzai Shabbos and then the one that I sent out yesterday, we spent significant time when we introduced the Masechta in the beginning of the year talking about Ksuva Deraisa, Ksuva Derabanan, and I don't want to rehash that. The problem is that that's the major sugya for this daf. That's the focus of the discussion. So I at least wanted to note the discussion very quickly that we had from the beginning of the year and then move on to other aspects of this claim of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, which are explored on the Amud. So we noted the problem from the beginning, right? There is good reason to say that ksuba is de'oraisa. We pointed out the word mohar as it's used in the Torah regarding a payment normally given to a besula as part of marriage, and we saw the mechilta de Rabbi Shmuel, which I brought you here on the sheet in source Aleph on mohorim haren alo li'isha, which says explicitly ein mohar al ksuba. So if mohar is a concept in the Torah, and that is ksuba, that sounds to me like ksuba is de'oraisa. That was one reason. Another was, we saw the concept of the pilegesh, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which I brought you in source Beis, says that pilegesh, by definition, is different from regular marriage, because there's no kiddushin and there's no ksuba. So how can the Torah outline a concept of pilegesh, right, without ksuba, unless ksuba is a thing, de'oraisa? And of course, the language in our ksuba, the chazi lechi, mi de'oraisa. So those were some of the reasons we brought. We brought many more. I mean, it was a long, it was a two-part shir. But we brought many reasons to argue that ksuba is de'oraisa. On the other hand, Chazal repeatedly called ksuba de'rabanan, including the sugya on our amud. Had a machlokis between the chachamim and Shimon Gamliel saying ksuba de'oraisa, and the chachamim saying, no, ksuba is, in fact, de'rabanan. And that's the simple view in the Gemara on Yuvamos Daf Peites. I brought you our sugya in Source Dalet, but again, we're not really going through this. It's there, so that you can refresh your memory if you like. Yuvamos Peites, my time of takinu la'rabanan ksuba. Why did the Rabbanan create ksuba? Well, if the Tami the Rabbanan created ksuba, then obviously that means it's the Rabbanan. We saw sources in the Rambam which seem to indicate both ways. Language in the Rambam seems to say de'oraisa, language in the Rambam seems to say de'rabanan, and we came up with a third idea, which is that the concept of ksuba is de'oraisa. The idea that there should be a payment, and that payment is meant to add kedusha to marriage because it provides the security and the respect that should be accorded to a wife in such a marriage. That's the concept of ksuba. However, the specific implementation, the amount, that is what is derabanan. And we trace that to the Ramban and the Ran, right? The Ramban in source Vav. Mehalacha omi dvar Torah komar sheskimu basach shneim havi mohar va'asu rabbanon v'tignu lahem sach masayim dinarin shalahem. Right, the rabbanon are the ones who decided what the amount is, but the concept of ksuba is itself a de'oraisa, and you saw it even more explicitly in the run that's there on the sheet in source Zion, and then in Ches I just gave you the links for the recordings so that anybody who wants to hear the full shiur with the full discussion of this concept and so on, you know, can catch it there. But I didn't want to discuss ksuvas daf yud and not at least, you know, say something about ksuba de'oraisa de'rabanan. So yotzei zayin, we got 4 minutes of ksuba de'oraisa de'rabanan, and now we move into the court discussion that we're going to have, which is the claim of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. Which is the claim that starts the trouble. You know, we discussed quite a bit of it when we did the introductory shiur in terms of the question of which cases actually when could this come up? When is it that the fellow could actually make a claim of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi? Is she underage? Is she older? Some of that's going to come up actually in the shiur. Now, we talked about also, I always feel obligated when I discuss Pesach Pasuach Matzasi to make this point that what you end up with in the Gemara are very cold cases. In other words, legal analyses of if he says this and if she says that, then what is the law going to be? Completely separate from human emotion. So you have this horrific situation in which he says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi and she says Ne'enasti, and instead of like him falling apart with emotion for her and oh my God, you suffered this terrible thing, instead he says, yeah, but it happened before the Kiddushin and therefore I don't owe you money. What is wrong? But it's giving you a cold legal analysis of claims and counterclaims. It's not giving you what I would hope ever happened in a human relationship. But one thing that I wanted to start with, because we really haven't spelled it out in Shear yet this year, except I think there was a comment that Daniel Shane has made in the first or second Shear that I gave, about this, which is claims of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi and claims of there was no blood, Tanas Damim, are not the same in Halacha. They are going to get lumped together at the bottom of Yud Amud Aleph. We're going to see at that point some lumping together because we get those six cases in which the poor guy who doesn't know what hit him comes to Beis Din and says, hey, there's a problem. And they say, no, there isn't. Go away. Or they whip him or whatever it is, depending on, they feed him, depending on where he's dealing with. But there we will lump together claims of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi and Tanas Damim. But there are ways in which these are actually different. One way in which they are different is in terms of the issue of certainty. And this is a big discussion that you have in the Ran on Gimel Amud Beis, but I'm just bringing one little piece of it, which is the position of the Ran, quoting the Rashba, it's also in the Magid Mishnah, is that Tanas Damim is a Bari claim. It's a claim made with certainty. Not, there might have been, there might not have been, but there was no blood. There was no dam. If you take a look, I brought it on your sheet in Source Test, a little line out of the Ran. Yesh mi shekasav she'ein ze ela betoin pesach pasuach she'ein tanaso brura legamri. Abol toin tanas damim neman afil hafsida tosefes v'chein das harashbi. He's talking about a question we're going to come back to in a little bit of when the guy says pesach pasuach matzasi and you're telling me that can eliminate the ksuba obligation. Is he able to eliminate Tanas Damim? Is he able to eliminate Tosefes Ksuba? Would we go that far and say, based on his Chazaka, which we'll talk about, he can eliminate Tosefes Ksuba? And that whole discussion, the Ran says, is only a discussion regarding Pesach Pasuach, not Tanas Damim. Tanas Damim can for sure knock out even Tosefes Ksuba, because that's where he's saying, I know, there was no blood. As opposed to Pesach Pasuach, which there's no certainty. He's saying, yeah, I think. But it's only I think.
It's not a shema. I mean, he's saying both.
Yeah, well, he's saying, right, well, the difference between, right.
The difference is that
it's halachically a bar. It's halachically a shema. You're right. His wording is bari wording. He says, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. However, his authority to make that claim is a shema.
Why?
Because of all the arguments that you see of Shema Hitisa, maybe you don't know what you're talking about.
Also about Tanatami, who said that, right? Menatzad and so on. Like, there's ways for him to do it without them.
No, the argument of Menatzad is the other way. The argument of Menatzad is the other way. There is an argument about Adam that maybe it was absorbed, and you see that in the in one of the cases that we bring at the bottom of the Amud, top of the next Amud, but. There is a much greater degree of certainty of there was no blood than the degree of certainty that your statement of there was no sense of there being besulim there equals there was a maisabia that she was involved with.
And the difference is so strong that this will be strong enough against a claim of this.
That's the argument that the Ran brings. That's correct. That's the position of the Ran. That's one difference. The bigger difference between the two is the question of a bogeres, right? The Gemara in Ksuvas Lamed Vav, if you take a look at Source Yud, it starts on Amud Aleph and goes over onto Amud Beis, tells us Hachereshes v'Hashota v'Habogeres u'Mukas Eitz Ein Lohen Tanas Besulim, focusing on the bogeres. Once she hits 12 and a half, there is no such thing as the guy being able to claim, hey, wait a minute, there were no besulim. To which the Gemara says, Bogeres, ein latanas besulim, is that really true? V'ha'amar Rav, Bogeres nosen la laila harishon. Don't we say, Rav says, regarding a Bogeres, that the first night, we assume that any dam that is found is dam besulim. Not just from the first bia, but from subsequent bia. So that, it seems to me, indicates that there is dam besulim for a Bogeres. So the Gemara says, yeah, dam, yes. Pesach, no. The Gemara says, either katoin tanas damim hachinami. You are correct. There could be a claim of, hey, why wasn't there dam for a bogeres. However, there is no claim. Hachamayaskinon de katoin patainas pesach pasuach. There is no claim of pesach pasuach matzasi regarding a bogeres. Rabbeinu Chananel quoted in Tosfos al Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and the Rif brings this as well. Actually, have the opposite girsa. They have the girsa that the well, take a look in the Rambam. It's in Source Yedaleth. The Rambam quotes it in order to shoot it down. He says, "Yesh ga'onim shahorush habogeres ein latanas damim v'yesh latanas pesach pasuach." Some have the addition that a bogeres actually is the other way around. There's no blood, but there are besulim. The hymen is in fact going to be there. Ve'ein derech haTalmud mara davar zeh. The Rambam says, "Open our Gemara." The Gemara doesn't say that. V'taos ha'isa b'nuschah shalahem. He says there was a mistake in their editions. The Rambam engages in manuscript study. The ukvar badakti al svarim rabim v'kadmonim u'matzashi shadavar kamosha b'yarnu she'en l'bogeres ela tainas damim bilvad. He says, no, it's the edition that we have, it's the understanding that we have, that when you're dealing with a bogeres, there will be blood, there just won't be the hymen. That's the way that we understand it. Why not? What happened when she turned 12 and a half? So that's a machlokas. Rashi gives you what you see in Source Yud Beis. Ve'ava pi she'en yochol levarer devarav bifaneinu, amrinan chazaka ein adam tarech besuda umafsida, like we've talked about, right? The guy is not able to prove Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. He's not able to demonstrate that. Still, we have the chazaka that he wouldn't be trying to destroy everything he just built up. Avo misha bagra, but once she's a bogeres, ein rachmot tsar kevatchila v'doma lo ki'ilu pesach pasuach. The development of the muscles, the development of the body is such that the opening is wider, and it may seem to be pesach pasuach, but that doesn't mean that she's been with a man before. That's the explanation of Rashi. The hymen is still intact. This idea, that because the muscles there or whatever it is, it's broader there, and therefore he may have via and yet not break a hymen, that's actually something that from a scientific perspective is very supported biologically. The idea that they could have relations and yet not break something that's there. Having said that, the biology seems to support the Magid Mishnah more. The Magid Mishnah gives a different explanation. If you take a look at Source Yud Gimel, not Yud Dalet, I should say. I'll come back to Yud Gimel. The Magid Mishnah writes, "V'sham nisbor shabogeres ein eton en ola pesach pasuach." Why? "Shekulhan pischan pasuach." Because it is open. Because once you hit a certain age, the hymen isn't going to be there. And that's what I brought you in Yud Gimel, an article from the Journal of Reproductive Health. It was a little bit graphic. I decided I didn't want it on a source sheet, but you can read it. In which the article explains the nature of the hymen and how it's a residual piece of tissue left from when she was actually in utero, when she was a fetus, and the whole passage was occluded, was blocked at that stage, and then it deteriorates, and over time it deteriorates further, such that by the time she is bogeres, there's nothing there anymore. There's nothing blocking it. That's what he says. Kulan pischan pasuach. There is nothing blocking it. Ah, but then wait a minute. Why are there damim? Why is there blood then? And the answer seems to be because the pesach is narrow. And it's what we call pirtza dechika, and we're going to come back to that. That's going to matter, in a little bit. Lemaisa, the Rambam rules, as we saw a piece of it in what I brought you in. Oh, I flipped the page the wrong way. And in Source Yud Aleph, the Rambam rules that a bogeres has tainas damim, does not have tainas pesach pasuach matzasi. All the claims that you will ever see of pesach pasuach matzasi are not claims being made with anyone over the age of 12 and a half, as well as since we said you're not supposed to be mekadesh her when she's younger, so they shouldn't be claims of somebody younger, it's all in this narrow window to 12 and a half. Yeah. It's extremely, extremely rare to see a case of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, because we're not going to accept it. I also saw an article, which I think I gave you a reference for later on the sheet, from Rabbi Ezer Ariel, in Asya. Yeah, it's source Mem Aleph on the sheet. The article is called Tainas Kesulim Bizman Hazeh. He has a whole discussion about claiming Pesach Patzuach Matzatzi today and Tainas Damim today. Very interesting read. I chose not to go into it for the shiur, but you can find it online. If you take any of the piece that I have in Mem Aleph and you just Google it, you'll find it. It's available on medethics.org.il. Yes. So the question of whether they're doing it or not, the Gemara in Kedushin says you're not supposed to, right? It says usur. At the same time, Tosos, who's obviously coming much later, says yes, but there were reasons why it would happen. Keep in mind, though, that even within Tosfos, you have the possibility, Tosfos says the reason is financial. The concern that by the time your child is of age, you may not have the means to be able to do it due to persecution. So that may mean they just did Kiddushin. That doesn't necessarily mean that they followed through with Nisuin. I just don't know, but that's worth noting. Okay. So that's just in terms of Pesach Pasuach versus Tanas Damim, and I thought that was important to note. Shua, you want to say? No? Okay. So the other point, though, and this becomes very interesting, is can he claim Pesach Pasuach Matzasi in the event that there is dam? There's blood. In other words, forget the case of there was no dam. There was dam. Can he argue Pesach Pasuach Matzasi anyway? What would you say?
We just separated between the two, so why not?
We just separated between the two. So you'll make the argument.
But in the narrow time where it does exist.
You're talking about in the narrow, during that small window.
Correct.
Yeah.
There is, okay.
Yeah. So school number one is in line with Idan. Yeah. Pesach Patzuach Matzasi will still be believed even though there is Dam. Someone named the Rambam actually thinks so. If you take a look at Sor's Tezvav, Im Omar Loki Elavadai Pesach Pasuach Haya. The guy says, for sure there was a Pesach Pasuach. Don't try to explain it to me. There was Hataya, there was what? No. There was a Pesach Pasuach. Harezo Tanas Besulim Lechol Besula Shalo Bagra. Right? Shalo Bagra. Bein Tana Bein Nara, Bein Bria Bein Chola. Shekol Nara Besula Pischa Sasum Hu. And here's the key. The Af Al Pisha Yatza Hadam. Hoel Umatza Pesach Pasuach Ein Kam Besulim. Even though there was blood, doesn't make a difference. The Pesach Pasuach claim is still a claim, and this goes back to what we said, a few minutes ago, that there can be blood even with an open Pesach. And I brought it for you from the Shulchan Aruch. The source test Zion. It's a Gemara Nida Samach Dalet. Haboel as habesula kamen pa'amim veras adam machmas tashmish. La'olam mechazkinan shem dam besulam ad shetashamish pam achas velo sira dam machmas tashmish. The rule is that he and she were together when she was a besula, and they were together thereafter, and she sees dam. The assumption is that this is dam besulam, not dam nida, until dam besulam go away. Leave aside how we practice bizmanenu. That's not my point. My point is simply to say there is a recognition that even if there was Pesach Pasuach, and there clearly is in the case the Rambam is describing, nonetheless, it is possible for there to be dam. It is possible for blood to be there, and therefore that doesn't undermine the claim that he wants to make. The Chazon Ish asks a question. I love when the Chazon Ish gets psychological. The Chazon Ish has a problem. I didn't bring it on your sheet, but it's in Nashim Samach Zayin Yud Beis. He says, I don't understand. We're going to see the Gemara in Ksuvos Yud Beis Amud Aleph, which has a discussion about a guy who doesn't follow local minhag. So local minhag is that the Chassan and the Kala are checked when they go into the chuppah to make sure they don't have any cloths with them, right? She's bringing in a cloth that already has dam on it. Or he's bringing in a cloth that does not have dam in order to be able to sabotage each other. I love the romance of these relationships. So in the event that he deviates from standard practice, so he already loses credibility. If he was not mushmash, if he was not checked, if he didn't follow minhag, we're going to come back to this Gemara in a little bit, but that's the statement, is we don't trust him. So the Chazon Ish says, I don't understand. If he's able to make a claim of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, even if there is dam, why is he playing games? Let there be dam, and let him claim Pesach Pasuach Matzasi anyway. Manavshach. Well, why is he bringing trouble in?
Like what we're saying in Galilee, you know?
What do you mean?
Based on the same thing. Like in Galilee, the Adam is the... Sorry, in Yehuda, for example. But the Adam is they're going to be together before, so he loses his credibility to claim it for later on.
They had a minog that they were together before,
so
correct.
Credibility.
I mean, that's the same sugya.
Yeah.
That's the same sugya. But
the same reason he went behind it.
No, but the question is, why did he do this?
He could have just claimed.
He could have just claimed Pesach Basal. He didn't take any risks. Why is he bothering?
He doesn't need to bring a bloody...
he couldn't claim Pesach Basal because they have this minog that they need to check before and didn't do that.
No,
but...
it's the opposite. It's the opposite. In the normal case, what they're doing is they're checking the him and her to make sure they're not messing around. In the event that he evades that procedure, he says, you know what? I want to get married to her and I don't want to be checked. We say, okay, but we're not going to trust you. And my question now as an outsider is, why did he bring that on himself? He didn't need to. He could have gotten away with it, even if there was dam. So Chazon Ish says, the answer is, yes, there is dam. But no one wants to go up against a visible, physical reality. It's psychological. You don't want to make a claim for which there is evidence against you sitting right there, even if that evidence is not ironclad. You don't want to say, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, when everybody is looking at a sheet that has blood on it. So that's why he would do this. You follow? That's the Chazon Ish's argument. Yeah.
Noting,
by the way, this is only an issue if you believe that you can claim Pesach Pasuach despite there being dam. That's the Rambam's view. But as we're going to see, not everybody agrees with the Rambam. Yeah.
You can stop me and say we're not going to go down this road if it's going to be too much. But I'm just trying to understand, but the Pesach that's not Patuach, it's not Patuach because the Betulim are there.
Yes.
if it's Pesach Patuach, that means the Betulim
are not there. That's the assumption.
So then the Dam Betulim, we're calling Dam Betulim, but if it was a Pesach Patuach, there wasn't really the Betulim. We're calling it Dam Betulim, but it doesn't really. We don't mean Dam
Betulim.
Down from something else.
Right, so this is something that I wanted to explore, but I didn't. And that is, how does all of this fit with the discussion of Dam Chiburi Michbar and Dam Mifkad Pakid? Right? We had the discussion, I think it was your shir, about these two theories of the blood. Is the blood stored up behind, you know, in a cavity? Or is the blood actually coming from blood vessels that were inside the skin, then inside the membrane, and now it emerges? I don't know how to square that discussion with this, but for this, what we're arguing is that the dam may be from the breaking of the basulim, but it is also possible for there to be dam just because they're having bia and there's friction between the two of them that can lead to dam, which is not halachically dam basulim. I mean, it is Dam Basulim, because the Shulchan Aruch is telling you that you can call that Dam Basulim,
right,
but it's not Dam Basulim as evidence that she's
from
a Basula.
Yeah, okay.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, I do think it's worth exploring the question of what does this mean for Mifkad Pakid Chibur Michbar. Because I don't really understand what Mifkad Pakid means. What does that mean? It's there in a cavity. Because I don't understand that, I can't get to first base in that conversation. I just don't, that's sort of the initial stage. So this is all Shitas HaRambam. This is the Rambam's view, that even if there is dam, he can claim Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. The other view is absolutely not. The Ran on the Rif on Gimel Amud Beis, quotes the Ramban, and he brings a corroborating source to say that no, you're not believed from the Yerushalmi. If you take a look at source Yedzai, he omeres dam besulim hi. She says, this blood that you see, they had bia rishona, there was blood. She says, yeah, that's dam besulim. V'hu omer lo ki, he says, no, it's not, el adam tzipor hi. That's from a bird. That's foreign blood that was brought in here. That's not actually from her. Hura kocho, shalanag minagzet. So in this case, he does not have authority to make this statement. This is talking about the guy who did not do what he was supposed to do in terms of the investigations beforehand to make sure they didn't bring in a cloth, that whole discussion from Daf Yud Beis. So the Ran quotes this and he says, see that? We don't believe the guy to say the blood came from a different source. Blood defeats your claim of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. There are three challenges, though, to this view. First of all, we just quoted the Shulchan Aruch. Hang on one second. We just quoted the Shulchan Aruch, and it's a Gemara, that there is blood from the Besulim even after Bia Rishona. Right? We said that. So it makes perfect sense to say that the presence of blood doesn't prove this was the first time. There can be blood even after that. Why are you having this conversation? So the Chakas Mechokek on the Shulchan Aruch offers an answer. Sorry?
No, Idan's asking silly science questions.
Okay. The Chakas Mechokek in Soros Yud Ches says, Imatz Adam, Af Agav Demidina Chitichya Maka Tolim Bedam Besulim, even though, technically we say, that she could have blood later and still call it Dam Besulim, and not Dam Nida, that shows there is bleeding going on even after the first time she has relations. Vimkein Mairaya Hu Adam Shlo Nivala Mikodem, and therefore why does the blood prove that she's never been with a guy? D'yesh Lomar D'chozman Sheyesh Dam Adayin Ein Pasuach Legamri. He says as long as there is Dam, it's not fully open. V'pirtza D'chuka Karile B'Gemara. The Gemara calls it a narrow opening. V'alkein calls manchi eish dam, eino yochol liton pesach pasuach. So as long as there is dam, he couldn't claim pesach pasuach matzasi. Devadei toa ohita. Either he's making a mistake, or he deliberately went around. But either way, says the Chagas Mechokik, you can argue that there being dam prevents you from claiming pesach pasuach. It would not have truly been pasuach. Michael, what were you going to say? Yeah.
Why would any emphasis on the dam at all? When you read the Gemara, the dam plays a big role, right? But it seems like it's almost irrelevant whether the blood or not.
It doesn't prove anything.
Yeah, so why is it more paying attention to dam period? It sounds like it proves nothing, even if it can be.
Right, so I think the Chagas Mechokek is trying to answer that. So the Chagas Mechokek's answer is to say that in the event that there is blood, if it's really Dam Besulim, you will not have the Pesach Pasuach phenomenon. It's the two working together, correct. The fact that you're claiming Pesach Pasuach means that that there really shouldn't be Dam at all.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm much more comfortable with the Rambam. Yeah. I'm much more comfortable with the Rambam. I hear you. Sure.
Would it be possible, like, dam from Nida? Is that a possibility?
Right. So we're deliberately and specifically saying we don't expect this to be dam Nida. We expect it to be dam Besulim, like that Shulchan Aruch that I brought. However, if it's the time of the month when she would expect to see dam Nida, then all bets are off.
But
then they shouldn't be together.
Be no, I'm saying if it's just they don't like it's not certain. Let's say. How can there ever be significance in saying, oh, okay, Dam Besulim might be a thing? Like, blood is so, it's not just, like, it can't be that specific where it could be a proof for that, because blood can come from anywhere.
Right.
There's other times where blood could be there. Like, how could you ever treat Dam as a proof for anything?
Right. I think because in the event that you were really going to think that this could be Dam Nida, you really wouldn't let them be together. Like we wouldn't go there, and we're creating worse problems if we're going to, you know, throw that out there as an idea. You know, then we're really creating trouble.
I mean, also following what you said, like that echoes back to the Ran, which is very difficult. So we say that Tanat Dam is more of the Bari claim, but it is for so many reasons that there is Dam, and Petach Patuach is very precise.
Really,
so why is it not? It's supposed to be the opposite. Petach Patuach is more of a Bari, because for sure it can be only this. It can be something else. But Dam, there's so many options. Why can be there dam, and we still call it?
I mean, dam nida, you're never going to want to put out there as an option. You could end up, if you did that, you could end up creating a raw machmas tashmish, which will lead to divorce, which will lead to potentially her inability to marry at some point, depending on how often this happens. Like, that's a nightmare situation. You don't ever want to go there. And also, you're now relying on that as a way to undermine her status as a basula. Like, you need something stronger than that in order to do that. But this is all one challenge. The second challenge is, couldn't she have brought the dam from somewhere else? You're telling me that according to this view that says that once there's dam, then he's not believed to say pesa pasol matzasi, what about where they're not mamashmesh? Where they're not mafashmesh? They don't do any checking. So why don't I worry that in fact she brought it from somewhere else? And in fact, the Beis Shmuel raises that point. The Beis Shmuel says, in Source Yates, he says, imatza dam, Baran Mavur Af Lahani Poskim Davka Le'inyan Mamon Mahani Imbatsadam. He says, even the Poskim who say that their being dam undermines Pesach Pasuach, that is only as far as the financial issues. Only as far as Ksuba is concerned. Aval Inyan Isser Lo Mahani. But it will not permit her to him. In other words, in the event, let's say he's a Kohen, right? And now we are concerned that if in fact she wasn't a basula, maybe there's a real problem for him and her. The fact that you found dam is not going to be sufficient to help. Diyesh lachush, shema hevia dam, o shema dam menatzadimu, because maybe she brought blood from elsewhere, or maybe the blood is from the sides of the passage and not dam basulam. So there is such a concern. Finally, the Beis Shmuel also asks the following question, and it's in Chav. If Pesach Pasuach Matzasi is only where there is no blood, then why is he making a Pesach Pasuach Matzasi claim at all? In other words, I told you before, Pesach Pasuach is, excuse me, only accepted as a Shema. It's a maybe. Tanas Damim is a Vadai. So, why is it that you're not just making dam claims? In other words, if you're telling me that you can only say Pesach Pasuach where there was no dam, so make the dam claim. There was no dam. Why are you making a Pesach Pasuach claim when you can make a Tanas Damim claim? Yeah. What do you mean? Right. So that's the Beis Shmuel's answer. The Beis Shmuel's answer is, if you take a look at Source Chaf, he says, Lahani poskim im kein tanos pesach pasuach im mishkan chaslan. According to this view, you can't claim pesach pasuach if there is blood. That means pesach pasuach is where there was no blood. So what's he doing? He said, Udeilo matzadam, if there was no dam, lamale tanos pesach pasuach, why is he claiming pesach pasuach? Tape baklay, habitanas dam. So he gives the answer that it's talking about Durkiti. That's one answer. Other answers I've seen is that it's where they lost the mappa, or where the guy says, I wasn't paying attention to the dam. I wasn't focusing. But it's an interesting question. He said it like, oh wait, yeah, why would you ever bother with a Pesach Pasuach?
It's only, the question only stands when we, again, like rely on what the run to, that it's more, it's stable more to say the dam, but maybe
right.
You don't need to say that. And that's why he chooses to say Pesach Pasuach and not Tanadam.
Because
if you don't, if you say the Pesach Pasuach is the berry, and you say the Tanadamim is Shema, not like
right. But we don't say that. But that's not.
But and that's what I'm saying. But maybe according to the tool, you can say that.
I mean, the much easier answer is just follow the Rambam, because you know, just say you can make a claim of Pesach Pasuach despite there being dam, and then you don't have the problem. And in fact, that's what we say. If you look at Source Chaf Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, "Tan tanas pesa pasuach omrim lo hitisa lo bata benachas lefichalo gashte betochak imamar loki ala pesa pasuach matzasi harezu tainim lo bagra adayin and v'yesh omrim afu lo bagra eino yachol liton tanas pesa pasuach im matzadam." Some say, right? That's the run. Some say that you can't, but the default is that you can. Shua.
What is that?
Durkiti is going to come up in the Gemara that we'll see, God willing, next week. the top of Yud Amud Beis, it's a family that, it seems, just simple read of the Gemara, a family that was known not to have much blood in that region. What that means, we will hopefully discuss. Okay. So that's all just clarifying a little bit about how Pesach Pasuach works as a claim. The core Gemara itself is found in Chav Beis. Itmar. Amr of Nachman Amr Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Chachamim tiknu lahem libnos Yisrael lebesula masayim ula aman amana. Veheim he'eminu hu shemar Pesach Pasuach matzasi ne'eman. Chazal decided this is the ksuba, whatever that means, that the ksuba is the rabbanon, however that works. Chazal said this is the amount. Veheim he'eminuhu, and they believe him. If he says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, that's it. He's credible, and that can dynamite everything in terms of her ksuba. Imkein mahawil chacham betakantam. Well, then what was the point of making a ksuba enactment? Every chassan is going to say Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, and now I don't owe you what I owed you. So Amar Zaka ein adam tarech b'seuda u'mafsida. So Rava says, because we assume the guy's not going to work to create this seuda and then blow everything up. So says the Gemara in Ksuvos, that is our chazaka. So the Rashba says, not so fast. What if he wasn't tareach? Take a look at the Rashba in Source Chav Gimel. U'mehada amrina nami ein adam tarech b'seuda u'mafsida mashma de'ilo tarech b'seuda. Sheinon Amon, the Haleka Chazaka. That means if you were in Torah, then you don't have such a Chazaka. The Chazaka is only if you were Torah. I don't know who evaluates your Tircha involved. The Chazanish has a comment on this in Nashim Samach Zayin Yedayin, where he says, Lav Davka in the Seuda, what the Rashba is saying here. It doesn't mean he has to be Torah in the Seuda per se, but anything that he adds for the Simcha counts as establishing that he is invested. He quotes the Rambam's language in Ishus Yud Aleph Yud Dalet, where the Rambam says about this guy in the Chazaka, v'hafach simchaso le'evel. He turns his simcha into evel by making such a claim. So if he was invested in creating the simcha, he would not then, ruin everything. But why do you say that by making this claim, he would be blowing everything up? Why are you saying that mafsida, he would ruin everything? Maybe he's going to stay married to her, and he's just going to owe less for the ksuba. Right? Why do you assume he's blowing everything up? So Tosfos asks that question, and Tosfos says, you're right. If he stays married to her, then there's no chazaka. The chazaka only applies if he's getting divorced. If you take a look at Source Chav Dalet, Tosus brings it. He says, Tema, Tena Peshes Kohen. If you're talking about Eshes Kohen, I understand. He blew everything up because they can't stay married. The Opchusa mi Bas Gimel, right? If she had Kiddushin when she was under the age of 3, and therefore she couldn't have lost her Basulim before Kiddushin. That's a whole other discussion about Basulim regrowing. Also worth reading some biology articles on that one. I have a theory, but it's not going to fit into the Shia right now. But Tosu says in the middle of the second line, Avalamanda Amar Yesh Laksuba Mana, if she does get a ksuba of a mana and they can stay married to her, Lomafsid Midi, he's not losing anything. Elisha Balapsi the Miksuba Samana, Avalasuda Lomafsid, he didn't lose the wedding meal, he's still married. Vyamaimahemin, why is he believed? So as I bolded, Veneer de Lomahemin. You're right, there's no chazaka if he's staying married to her. That's the position that Tosfos takes. The Chazon Ish has a long piece on this in Nashim Samach Zayin Tez Zayin. Ramban quotes a different answer from Tosfos. It's not from this Tosfos, to say something which I don't quite understand. Before he then gives his own answer, take a look at Chav Hei, please, where we first see the answer that he brings from the Balei Tosfos. He says, maybe he wants to stay married to her. Umitartzim. Kevin Shabasula Nasa Vatarach Basudas Zayid, he married a Basula, which means 7 days of Sheva Brachas that he had to work on. Eino Asuila Hafsid Shevach Shalom. He won't want to ruin Shevach Shalom. I don't know what that means. Shevach Shalom. Sorry?
His reputation.
Is it?
No.
I don't know. I flat out don't know what the word Shevach there means. I don't know if it means it the way it's often used in the Gemara to mean excess. Right? That which was over and above? I don't know what his, I know that it's not what Tosfos said in our Tosfos. But I don't know what this means. I don't know what he's saying. But then he gives his own answer, so. Oh, you mean if he declares she's not a basula, they're going to cancel the last 6 days of meals? Because she's not a basula. I hear you. We cancel the last 6 days of the meals. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good idea. Idanim and Daniel.
I'm saying that it looks like maybe also he can say it's just the other 100 that he wants to lose, right? Because the basic is 100, and he rolls 100.
Right.
So this is the Shiva, because there are other 100 that he wrote. That this makes sense with the Tosfos.
No, but
the other math. The basic one.
No, but that he does want to get rid of.
Yeah, I know. But the regular, the basic, which is his Shiva, the thing that he deserves as a from default, he doesn't want to, which is the money. Right. And as
the yeah, but I don't understand just what this line means. How do you read the Ramban? How do you read his words?
Umetarzen. Sheva means that he doesn't want to lose the entire thing. But
the entire what?
I'm saying that he doesn't want to lose only the basic thing. He's willing to give up on some of it.
Yeah.
But he's not willing to give up on everything.
Who said he was?
That how can I say the first?
I don't follow you, but it needs the time. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, Daniel. But then how does it fit with the Seuda? It's Torah Pesuda. Umafsida. And he's making a point about the Seuda Zion. I mean, the Ramban's second answer, the one that's his own, is the one that you would intuit. He says, Ve'ein it sorech. You don't have to say all that. The Mistama, kol ha-toin al-basula, pesach basuach, v'damim, daito lahotzia. The assumption is he's planning on divorcing her. She'ein adam rokeik b'kos v'shosebo. You don't spit in a cup and drink from it. You don't defame her before Am Ve'eda and then say, so when do you want to go to dinner tomorrow? Like, that's just not happening. So that's Ramban. This is not realistic, he says. So that's fine. Ramban, though, also asks a question here. He asks, who needs a chazaka? Right? And this is something that gets a lot of discussion in different places. I'm only doing a brief piece of it. That's that long run. She is the one who's claiming money from him, right? She's the one who wants the ksuba. Why does he have to prove that she's not a basula? Let her prove she is a basula. Why is the onus on him to prove that she's not a basula? She's the one who wants the money. And you had to have seen this question. This is like everybody's question on the sugya. So Ramban in Chavav offers you an answer. If you look at V'yesh Lomar from the middle of the second line, V'yesh Lomar dahacha kaven derov nashim besulos nisos. He says, first of all, you have a rove. Most women who get married as besulos. V'ganami chazaka degufa, and she's born as a besula, so she has a chazaka. Hochin achar rove ve'achar chazaka. You take the rove plus the chazaka. V'achi yisa b'yushami perek beis. Ella derabbanan himnu holukam or barili. The chiddush is that we're willing to believe him to say pesach pasuach matzasi. That's the chiddush, because she has a robe and a chazaka on her side. That's Ramban. The Ran though gives a different answer for this. The Ran reverts to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in the Gemara. Essentially, remember the language that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar used in the Gemara. Go back to source. Sorry, I lost my place. Source Chav Beis. No, I didn't bring you Rabbi Shimon. No, I did. Rabbi Shimon Elazar said, Chachamim tiknu lahem lebenos Yisrael. Chachamim were metakein this. Veheim he'eminuhu. And they believed him to say, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. They're the ones who made the takana, and they're the ones who believed him. Now read what the Ran says in Source Chav Zayin. He says, Uladidi lav kushahi klau. He says, I don't think this is a problem. The kaven de isla ksuba kadesh lo te kala bein of lahutziya, since the point of the ksuba is to avoid the easy divorce for him. Im ata omer neeman va'aladi darami levarure. If you're going to tell me that he is believed, and she is the one who has to prove that she's a basula, v'yeshul haviraya, and she can't, harehi kala bein of lahutziya, then you've undermined the whole point of ksuba. That doesn't make any sense. Uchad Amar im kain mahu iluchacham betakanasam, like you say in the Gemara. If so, if you're able to say Pesach Pasul Matzasi, then what was the point of the takana in the first place? Hilchach vaday ilav dehem nuhu rabbanan mishum dechazaka einad entarach pasuudu mafsida lo hava mehemen. If not for the fact that they were able to come up with a chazaka, they wouldn't believe him at all. Demisa demehemen nimtzu b'nos Yisrael kehefker, because otherwise, forget it, you would have lost the whole point of the ksuba in the first place. All that respect we talked about in the beginning of the shiur, you've given her no stability, you've given her no respect, nothing. Yes, Daniel. Right, I thought this was shot in the Gemara.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought this was shot in the Gemara. So, do we actually... Sorry?
We have a whole artistic... just for later.
Okay. Do we actually accept the... you can save that for the Shabbaton on human creativity. Do we actually accept this chazaka? Do we really believe... is that really a thing? If so, we have a problem with the Gemara that we quoted earlier from Daf Yud Beis, the one about where they have a minhag of examining them and all of that. Take a look at that Gemara, please. It's in source Chav Ches. Kidizanya. B'Yehuda barishona hayu mamidin lahem shushay shushvin. I skipped the part about Yichud and all of that. B'Yehuda barishona hayu mamidin lahem shnei shushvinin. In Yehuda, they would set up two people who were very close with them. Echad lo ve'echad lo, one for him, one for her. K'nei l'mashmesh sachasim v'sakal v'shasim nisasim l'chupa. In order to check them to make sure they didn't bring in a cloth that would support their post-chupa claims. There is such trust in this relationship. This is what they say, right? People talk about love at first sight. You only develop love after you're married. So apparently it's really only after you're married. And in Gala they didn't do that. They used to have the Shushvinin in the house with them to make sure no funny stuff would happen. Not in Galil. You need to follow that in order to be able to claim Tanas Besulim. And then you have Rav Ashi come along a little bit afterwards. And he says also, Kol Shelo Mushmash, if you didn't follow the Minhag. Right? So tell me something. If you say we have a chazaka that he's not going to mess things up because he's so invested, why do you need to do all these, you know, metal detector things, right? Why you have a chazaka? Why do I need to start checking him and checking her and checking her? Fine, but checking him?
No, what? That's before the nisuin. That's the third case.
Yeah.
That's before the nisuin. So yeah. I don't know suda yet. So you haven't been Torah.
He was Torah, no, he was Torah Suda before. He had 3 days of you being Torah Suda before this.
No, we talked about the time, this is before the
no, this is when they're Nechnas L'Chopa. This is when they're Nechnas L'Chopa.
Is it part of the Sukiya at all that we said that in Yehuda they used to...
That was the previous part. Yeah. That was the previous part. I'm talking about the part that I brought here. But no, this is not. This is Bishas L'Chopa. It says explicitly in the Gemara. Bishas Kinesas L'Chopa. Bishas Kinesas L'Chopa. Yeah. So I don't understand. Why is it that, how far does your chazaka take you that you need to have, you know, cloth detectors at the entrance?
Wait, so, but then it doesn't make sense. Because if we say they had a relationship before, why do you need that Shushvinin?
Right, so that's the whole Yehuda versus Galil thing. I'm not going there.
Okay.
That's the whole other sugya. Right. Go back to the shir from, you know, Yehuda and Galil. Yeah.
Could be the whole psychological aspect that you said earlier. Like, your physical proof is hard to, if you look at something physical and say, mm-hmm. What you said before about the psychology.
You know, yeah, so you can give the Chazanisha psychology answer. That's an interesting idea. I didn't think about that. I want to think that one through, but that's a thought. The answer that I was going to give is that it's a machlokas we shown him. Tosfos writes on our Amud, and I brought it for you, I think, in source Chavtes. He says, yeah, we don't actually believe in the Chazaka. He says, we don't follow Rav Nachman about this chazaka that he's not going to ruin things because he worked on the meal. Dashkachna Rav Ashi, dehu basra, de paligale. Rav Ashi, in our sugya on Daf Yud Beis, disagrees with him. Kimetaris kamala braisa, tani kol shel mushmas, the exact what we just quoted, alma dechayesh l'shem ha-meshaker, v'lo amin en chazaka inedam torech b'suudu mafsida. You see that? We do worry he's going to lie. We don't say he has any such chazaka. Rabbeinu Meir, the Rav Ashi Polig ad the Rav Nachman. The position of Tosfos is, you're right, we don't accept the Chazakah. Rabbeinu Hananel, quoted in the Rush, says no. He says it's not true. He says Rav Ashi accepts the Chazakah. He disagrees only where somebody deviates from local minhag. It's only that case where the minhag is to be tested and you subvert the test. Ah, something funny is up. It's in the Rush here in source Lamed. Rav Ashi Amar Lola Masev, etc. Pirish Harivam from that Tosfos. The Lesa Chazaka Inam Tarech Besudo Mapsida. And it says Rabbeinu Tam, but it doesn't mean Rabbeinu Tam. It's Rabbeinu Hananel. Pirish Shaani Hacha Kevin Shnagul Mashmish Vinishtana Haminog Anutolin Shebegar Mason Nishtana Haminog Veramai Huvein Lismocha Chazaka. We don't trust him because we had this routine for testing and he subverted it. Now, this is a little bit of sort of cart before horse or chicken and egg. When you instituted the test, even though you trust him, in order to catch the people who subvert the test, showing they can't be trusted. If you really trusted him, why did you create tests in the first place? So I'm a little confused regarding this point. But that's what that's the position of Rabbeinu Hananel. And in practice, the Shulchan Aruch sides with Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rush, that we do accept the Chazakah. I brought you the Shulchan Aruch in Lamed Aleph. In Minag Hamakom Lahamid Edim Lamashmish Loyinagu Minag Ramos Ve'ira Hadavar Shalohemidu Edim Eino Yachol Liton Tanas Besulim. Subvert the Minag, you can't claim Tanas Besulim. Only though if you subvert the Minag. Okay. So I alluded to the question early on in the Shir of what about Tosefes Ksuba? You're telling me that he is believed because of his chazakah, enough so that he is able to knock out the ksuba. But there's also Tosefes ksuba. At the time of the wedding, he says, not only am I promising you X, but I'm also going to accept upon myself even more than that, because I really love you and I really want to be married to you. Can that also be knocked out? What would you say? Can he knock out the Tosefes Ksuba? Sorry?
I would assume it would be more likely.
More likely, why?
Because the Tosefes is something that he volunteered on his own.
What is the power of something he volunteers on his own? What is the legal authority of something you agree to on your own? That's a contract, right?
Yeah.
That's a contract that you agree to on your own. I'm not going to call neder, but it's a personal eschivus.
Yeah.
What's the power of the Ksuba? Takanta derabanan. So maybe he can wipe out the takanta derabanan, but not that. That's the position of the Rif. Take a look. That's the argument. Take a look at the Rif in source Lamed Base. The chazinan legaon. We saw the gaon when the Rif says the gaon. The chida brings in the Shem Hagedolim, a view that whenever the Rif says gaon, it means Rif Haigon. And in fact, here we're going to see the Mordechai in Lamed Dalet who says that it was Rav Haigon. I didn't bring that piece, but he says it was Rav Haigon. So he says, Chazil Lagon de Ka'amar, Hani Mili Le'inyan Mana Masayim. His credibility with Pesach Pasuach Matzasi is only to eliminate the 100-200. Ava Le'inyan Tosefes Lo Mehemen, but not as far as Tosefes. V'taima de Mistaber Hu Delo Takinu Rabbanan Ela Mana Masayim. Aval Tosefes, Iu Kasav Anafshe. Tosefes, he took upon himself, Hilkach Lo Mehemen. Therefore, he is not going to be credible. That's his position. Well, not all the Rishonim are on the same page as the Rif and Rif Haigon. Yeah.
Could you not say that, maybe this maybe you are saying this, that the whole, when it's become their abundance, you say, Imam or Behemam, it kind of reads that way, that they were the talking to Ksuba, and
they also undermined it. Yeah. Okay. So maybe you can read it that way. I hear you. The disagreement with this position comes from two reasons. Number one, the Rush, who is very polite in Lamed Gimel. He says, "Eini kecholek al divrei gaon." Who am I to argue with the Gaon? This is from his Ashkenazi roots before he fled to Spain. He says, "Eini kecholek al divrei gaon." Abu mitocha svara nira de behemen gam leinu tosefes. But logically, of course, he's believed for the tosefes as well. The davar yadua de l'shem chibas chupa ubia hosifla. We know why he does tosefes ksuba. It's because he wants to be with her. Just like for the 100, 200, we say he wouldn't blow things up. If he didn't like her, so he would have just divorced her after the Kiddushin. He wouldn't have gone all this way. Despite being able to benefit getting out of the 200. The same thing is true regarding the Tosefes, which he only adds to his obligation when they do the Ksuba at the time of the Chuppah. Leave aside the question of when they actually do it Bizmanenu, but whatever. How can you tell me that at the time of the wedding he was so in love with her that he said, I am going to promise you, me delay, such and such a sum, and then the next morning he wants to divorce her? His claim is true. That's why he's divorcing her, and that's why when he added it, didn't think that this was going to happen. That's the position of the Rush. He says it's just logical. The Mordechai gives a different reason as a kal v'chomer, and I don't know if this was sort of where Daniel wanted to go with it, but the Mordechai says, according to the Rashbam in Lamed Aleph, Rashbam higia al devarov mikoach kavachomer umad takinu rabbanon aminu chazaka made yoev lo kol shekein. If his chazaka is enough to defeat a takana de rabbanon, it's not enough to defeat what he added on his own. It wasn't really what he said. You were arguing almost the other way, that if his personal writing creates a hischaivus, then also the takana de rabbanon creates a hischaivus for him. Nonetheless, that's his argument, on this. As a matter of psak, the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, unsurprisingly, follow the Rif that Tosefes stands. Right? It takes a lot for the Rambam not to follow the Rif. I brought it for you in Source Lamed Hey, but it's already 11:27, so I'm gonna not do that. But I had a very interesting tangent here that I just wanted to at least mention, even if we can't read it inside. It's very important. We have a principle of Kimli in Dine Mamanos. Right? In the event that I have a din Torah, and the Dayan says, well, the majority say you are chayav to pay him such and such, I can say, but I follow the minority of poskim, and the minority of poskim say I'm not obligated to. It's based on the concept of ein holchin b'mamon achar harov. You don't follow the majority in mamon. I brought it for you from the Shach and Tukfo Kohen in Lamed Zayin. The Ein Hocham Mamon Acharov. Therefore, you can say Kimli. However, the Beis Shmuel says here you can't say Kimli like the poskim who say that I am overpowering Tosefes Ksuba as well. In other words, I say the Rush, the Rashbam, they don't agree. I follow the Rush and the Rashbam. Says the Beis Shmuel in Source Lamed Vav, Eino Yachol Lomar Kimli Kahani Poskim Harashbam Shel Tegiborim Neged Kol HaPoskim. Ava Gav Derash Kasav Gam Kein Asvar. This doesn't make a difference. Mikomakom lo hechriya kein va'atur pasa, the Rush didn't actually say this lamaisa, and the Tur didn't rule that way either. So therefore he says, you can't say Kimli. Why not? The whole point of Kimli is to be able to side with a miut, with a minority. So two answers. Answer number one is there's a limit on Kimli. You need to have a certain number of poskim on your side. What does it have to be? So the Ma'arik in Shorish Kuf Mem Tes, which I brought you on the sheet in Lamed Ches, he says it has to be more than just one gaon against the world. He's dealing with a separate question of can you apply this regarding Isurim, and what if he's Tofes the Mammon? I'm not going there, but he says this, and he says that regarding Mammon, not just Isurim, he says, Besafek zeh, the part I bolded, ki kol ha-poskim asher kol Yisrael shosim me-meyem kumo pamalya asher aboseinu baliatosas ve'arav alfas rabbeinu Moshe ve'maimun. He says, they all ruled this way. He says, you don't get to say, I want to follow a yachad against kol chachmei Yisrael. There is a limit to what is considered a legitimate opinion in halacha. In Tukfo Kohen, he says, I brought it for you in Mem, it should be in Lamed Tes. But he says, I don't actually know how to figure out where exactly the threshold is. Like, how many poskim do you have to have in order for it to be considered significant enough that now you can rely on it? I don't know. It's in the eyes of the Dayanim. He says, "Ani eini yodei al achriya b'din zeh." But I also brought you Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig in Lamed Tes in an article on Elu ve'Elu, because this obviously comes up there, and he says there are significant limitations even to a pluralism grounded in equal truths. And he goes on to say the parameters of Kimli, for example, attest to this. Even those who accept the effectiveness of the claim of Kimli impose definite limitations. He quotes our Maharik. He quotes the view that says that you have to be quoted in the Shulchan Aruch of the Ramah. You can't just say Kimli every time you want to follow a minority view. That's number one. There has to be a limit on Kimli just within reason. Number two, the last point, Rabbi Ezer Ariel, I brought him in Mem Aleph, in his article in Asya, says we only say Kimli when there is a suffix about which way to paskin. I don't know which way to go. There's this view. I have to decide. The majority, all right, says this. But Kimli, I can say to follow the minority. Here, he says, it's clear we reject the minority view. The Beis Yosef said that even the Rosh agreed with the Rif, la halacha. And the Beis Yosef noted that the Rif made sense, because the language of Rav Nachman was chachamim tiknu, so only the takana is knocked out, not the rest. That's like Michael was saying, effectively. It's heimamru veheimamru. And the Aga Moshe rejected the Rashbam. So he says, that's why. You only say Kimli where there's a doubt about how to paskin. Not where it's very clear cut that we're not going to follow those. So we didn't even get up to the six cases, but at the bottom of the Yomud. But next week we'll do the six cases, hopefully in some depth. We may even get to the fun discussions with wordplay at the bottom of Tes Amud Beis, Milsa de Agarita. But what we did was we saw a few minutes on Ksuba de Raisa de Rabbanon and the third view. We came to understand the Pesach Pasoch Matzasi argument as different from the argument of there was no blood, practical ramifications being certainty unless you're Idan, and application for a Bogeres. We said he can claim Pesach Pasuach even if there is dam. That's the approach that seems to be held la halacha, even if the guy doesn't want to make such a claim, as pointed out by the Chazon Ish. We said that Pesach Pasuach relies on a chazaka, which it seems we do accept, despite that comment in Tosfos about Rav Ashi. We do accept it. Enam torech pasudo mafsida, has to be torech in something. And the chazaka is strong enough to cancel ksuba, but not Tosefes ksuba. It was a little bit disjointed because we dealt with a lot of subtopics. I hope that it was cohered enough to be coherent. God willing, back for more, and you have Bays next week. Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.